This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air. Your holy presence given here. Let's sing it one more time. This is the air. This is the air. Oh, that holy righteous air we breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me, and I. I'm desperate for you, my Lord Jesus, and I'm lost without you, Lord, and I I'm desperate for you. Oh Lord, make me desperate, please, Lord. And I'm lost without you, my Lord.
Daughter is up. Daughter is a kuma komo, rubatro rangu runo vepi. Runo vakuna mwari, diye muchene.
Muri muchene.
Arushanduke
Dichagara Mamuri no kusinga peri Murishe Wematishe
Doti kwa muri
Muri muchene Rudorenyu harusanduke Dichagara mamuri no kusinga peri murishe Wematishe I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. It comes from the Lord, for he is holy, holy, holy.
I say to you, you are holy,
you are holy.
Your love is ever unchanging.
We'll abide with you forevermore. You are the King of Kings. Oh, you are the King of Kings. You are holy, oh Lord. You are holy, you are holy. Your love is ever unchanging. We'll abide with you forever. the King. Yes, you are the King of Kings.
Yes, we're in love.
We are bound to each other in love.
Yes, we're in love
by the love of the Savior above.
Love of the Savior
for
above.
Together we stand and together we pray. We are bound to each other in love.
Yes, we're in love.
We are bound to each other in love.
Yes, we're in love
by the love of the Savior above.
Love of the Savior
for
above.
Together we stand and together we pray. We are bound to each other in love.
For together
we stand and together we pray. We are bound to each other in love.
For together we stand and together we pray.
We are bound to each other in love. We are bound to each other in love.
God bless you.
Sister Elsie and Sister Stacy, do they want to come? Are they ready? Amen.
Hide me now under your wings. Cover me within your mighty hands. When the ocean dries and tides roll, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you are God. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still and know you. Rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still, know you.
Amen. So do we have time for Bramax? Bramax, if you... Sorry for starving you on singing. Once in a while. It happens. Come Wednesdays, you'll be able to sing more. Sing. No, I'm saying to the people.
Oh, hallelujah. God bless you, church. This is a testimony from Virginia, and he's asked me to tell the church, thanking God. Amen. That the Lord has been so good to him. Amen. He has won award again for the second year running.
Amen.
To be the best student.
Hallelujah.
For second year running in chemistry. So he said he wants to thank the Lord.
Amen.
And he thanks the church also because he knows that you always remember him in prayer.
Amen.
But one thing, in fact, I would like to say is that he's a boy that always go with God first.
Amen.
That's his life. God first. And all things shall be added. He will never miss church one day.
Amen.
No matter what whether he's praised or not, he will never miss church.
Mm.
So we thank God for his life.
Hallelujah.
And he greets all of you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that song. Take me past the outer courts. Amen. Worship this. Okay. Like Brother Max was saying, I would like to also say about Junior. I stayed with him many times. His one boy is given to God. He loves his God. So it's not only the brain. It's your humility to God. That's why God prospers him. Because we can all come to church. We can all do the notions. But if you're not humble in your spirit, because God looks on the heart. That's why I have a lot of time for Junior. I would even go to Holland if he asked me to go. Because he's such a humble boy. If we could be like that, we'll be such a good knit. Let's go. Take me past the outer courts into the holier place. We want God to change us. When we get in there, we don't come out alive. Because if you come out alive, then you're a ghost. Amen. Take me past the outer courts to that holy place. Past the blazing altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by. Pass me by the crowds of people. Oh, the priests who sing your praise. Oh, it's only found in your presence, Lord. Take me into the holiest of all. Take me in this morning, Lord. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, take me, Lord. Take me into the holiest of holies. Take the cool, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take me in this morning, Lord. Take me into the holiest of holies. Oh, Lord, take me. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holiest of holies. Take the cool, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the cold, Lord. Take the cold. Cleanse my lips. Here I am. We enter in into the temple. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days to honor him. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Shout, holy people. How excellent is thy name. Praise his name. Unto us, oh, his mercies unto us. Give thanks to the ancient of days. We
give thanks, Lord. Give thanks to the ancient, ancient of days. Give thanks to the ancient of days. Give thanks to the ancient of days. Give thanks to the ancient of days. Elohim, how we long to worship you. Elohim, 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 how we long to worship you. Lord, we come to you with, we come to you in worship. Not a matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, no matter what the situation, we will live. Up holy hands. Elohim, 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 how we long to worship you. We long to worship you, Jesus. Elohim, Elohim, how we long to worship you. Yeah, we are in Satan's Eden, and Satan comes to beat us down. But with your spirit here before us, in righteousness we rise and say, Elohim, 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 are we long to worship you. Elohim, Elohim, how we long to worship you. Because you have chosen narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven waiting for you because of what you decided. Oh, that was a prophecy, was a prophecy the angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce a great victory to the love divine. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. I will walk this path. I will walk this path. Footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, this path has many trials and many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect love. Oh, there is not much time remaining. There is not much time remaining. Oh, to walk in this path. We can already hear the chariots of the beloved one coming to meet us. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Called us from our sins and our failings, Lord, and Father has kept us safe, Lord, and the same grace will keep us home. So, Father, we bring ourselves before Thee upon this day. Father, having this request before us for our Sister Anne in Belfast, Father, not well, I pray for her. I ask of You, Lord, even at this time, draw near to her bed of sickness, Lord, speak unto her soul. Help her, Jesus, we pray. Touch her, Lord. Let Your healing virtue, Lord, be her portion, be her inheritance upon this day because of Your great work that You've done on Calvary, Lord. That You are the one that has destroyed the power of the enemy, Lord. We pray that You'd visit her, Lord. Raise her up, Lord, that she may glorify Your name. Father, do something special for her, Lord. Father, we're looking unto Thee upon this day. And as we open up Your holy word, oh, Father, we desire manna upon this day. Amen. Father, we do not desire the opinions of people. We don't desire the thoughts of man. But, Father, we desire the mind of Christ. Father, we desire to fellowship with You. We desire that Your great thoughts, Lord, that Your great will and purpose, Lord, would be imparted unto us. That as we'd go from this place, we wouldn't be the same. That You wouldn't see things the same. Father, Lord, that You would empower us and equip us and lead us to go forth as Your people to walk with You in this age. May You bless Your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless, saints. Let's open our Bible straight away. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just really wanted to express to Sister Comfort very sorry for her aunt passing away. We're trying to arrange something for Tuesday evening there, so we'll let the saints know what the plans are, but we're really sorry to hear about that. I was saying about Sister Anne. She was with us at Christmas with Brother Alec, you remember? She's got an infection in the fluid around her heart, and they've given her medication. They've sent her home. It's very painful, but she's not responding to the medication. So Brother Alec phoned this morning and said, please, can you get the saints to pray? She's in a lot of pain. She's bedridden. It's hard for her to eat. And you know she's a real good sister. So let's remember the sister in prayer. 2 Corinthians 12, let's read from verse 7 up to verse 10. We read this last week. This is Paul with his thorn. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And I'm sure Paul wasn't a joker when he prayed. Amen. That's when Paul would go and pray, he'd pray. And he went before the Lord three times to ask the Lord to remove this thing from him. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Amen. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. Real special day for me to have my niece here today. Amen. Louise. Amen. Amen. We do welcome her. God bless Amen. You. And anybody else who's visiting, may the Lord be with you and bless you this day. Amen. Just want to take a thought today to ask this question, what does it mean when God says no? No, just to think about that. You think of Paul, he asked the Lord three times, yeah, for the Lord to deliver him, and the Lord said no. Now there's something about when God says no. This is one of the hardest things for people to understand. Now Paul, he has this thorn. We were just speaking with Brother Dave about it the other day, is that Paul is given this thorn, a messenger of the devil. Now one thing that we need to discern straight away is we need to know what is the difference between a thorn, because if you look at the scripture, it actually says in verse 7, it says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn. So this was a gift. Who gave him this thorn? It was the Lord. It was a gift from the Lord. Now, many, many times people look at situations going through, afflictions they're going through, temptations they're going through, and they think it's a thorn. No, that there's a difference here. Now, it's a really good thing to understand, because how do you know that what you're being challenged with, what you're facing up to is a thorn, something the Lord has given you for a purpose? Or how do you know it's the devil? That it's just the devil attacking you? It's an important thing. And I think maybe the point really to see this is that anything that keeps you relying on Christ, but doesn't hinder you in your calling with Christ, is a thorn. But anything that hinders you in your calling is an obstacle. It's an opposition. It's something that you need to face up to. It's something that you need to wrestle with. It's something you don't need to give yourself over to. So if you find there's something that's hindering you in your walk with Christ, that's not something which is serving a divine purpose. It's not something which is bringing you to the stage that you're continually reliant on Christ. Because the Lord gave this to Paul to keep him reliant on Him. Because He knew that this is a man that could be self-sufficient in himself. And He wanted to make sure that Paul, in order to get the best from Paul, that Paul would never be self-sufficient. So what the Lord had to do was put this thorn, this messenger, this sickness in his life. But this thing, instead of holding back the effectiveness of Paul in his calling, it made him more effective in his calling. And that's how you can tell the difference between the devil trying to sneak something in on you and a thorn, something which the Lord has given you. You just need to look inside of your life. If there's something that hinders you all the time from your post of duty, that's not a thorn. That's an opposition that you need to prevail over, that you don't need to give yourself to. You know, so there's a difference there. You need to look inside of your life. If there's something which, you know, so much weighs you down and all that, no. That's an affliction. You need to wrestle against that affliction. But there's certain things the Lord's going to allow inside of our lives because there's a divine purpose behind them. They are a gift. It's given to you by the Lord. And when He gives you something like this, there's always a purpose behind it. Because God doesn't do anything just by chance. God doesn't waste time. He doesn't waste His time. He doesn't waste our time. The most important thing the Lord has on earth is His sons and His daughters. And the most important work that He has is His investment that He's putting inside of you. And He'll do everything in His divine wisdom that is necessary to get the best out of your life. The best for you and the best for him. And that's why he allows certain circumstances to come at certain times to bring you back to that situation that he can get the best out of you. You know, but sometimes we want to grow in our own strength and then he can't get the best out of us anymore. So that's what this is here. Many times we need to consider what we're going through. No, sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we just push on in life. You know, we'll go through things which are difficult for us. We go through valleys. We go through trials. But we don't stop and think. In the book of Haggai, when the Lord held back the rain from Israel and that, because the people were so much concentrating on their own things, not on the things of the Lord, the Lord sent the prophet to them. And you know what his message was? Amen. Consider your ways. Amen. That's what he said to them. Consider your ways. So he wanted them to stop and to think. He didn't want them just to continue on the way that they were going and saying, hey, look, everything will take care of itself. No, there's certain times inside of our lives that you go through things and it goes on for quite some time and you wonder why. You just can't seem to get out of that ditch. You can't get out of that valley. What you need to do then is stop and consider your ways. You might pray for something and it doesn't seem to go like Paul. There's an explanation behind it. Now you need to find out what's the purpose of this thing. Paul, he sought the Lord three times. And then Jesus came and told him now the reason why he was going through what he was going. Amen. And that's what we need. You don't want to just be walking in the dark. You know, to wage warfare effectively, you need to know what's going on. Amen. You need fresh orders from the general. You need to know your enemy. You need to know what's required of you in that particular battle that you're fighting in. Amen. And you need to go back to him. So if you keep hitting against the same brick wall, you just can't pass through that brick wall, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for everything that happens to the sons and daughters of God. Amen. But sometimes we go around and around and around, like we said the other week, back to the same spot because we haven't learned what it is that God wants us to learn at that stage. Amen. There's a divine lesson. There's a divine purpose. There's a divine wisdom that he wants to impart. He wants to put something inside of your experience. But sometimes, like we said, we're looking at other people all the time, saying it's other people. But sometimes the Lord is trying to say, no, Lord, forget about everything else. Just come, consider your ways. Amen. Just come and humble yourself before me. Just come and wait on me. Wait for me to speak to you. And I will explain to you why you're going through what you're going through. Because once we learn the lesson of the trial, there's no more need for the trial. You go to school, you're doing your whatever GCEs, yeah? You learn the curriculum, you get to exams. Once you pass exams, you don't need to go and do those things all again. But if you fail the exam, you're going to have to repeat it all again. And then you're going to have to come back to that same exam room again. You're going to have to do the same subject in the exams once again until you pass. And then once you pass, you move on to the next stage. And that's the way it is in the things of God as well. Once you pass that trial, once you understand, once he's imparted into you and you've received what he wants to impart, there's no more reason for you to be there. Amen. But it's incredible how long we can sometimes stay in the same place. You know, because we're failing just on this simple thing to realize that God has the answer. That he knows and that we need to approach him in a certain way to receive this understanding from him. Amen. So Paul says in verse 8, for this thing, this messenger that was buffeting him in this sickness, this trouble that he was going through, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. That was serious prayer. Amen. But what happened? Was that prayer answered? That prayer wasn't answered. God didn't answer the prayer in the way that Paul wanted the prayer to be answered. Paul was praying to say, Lord, take this away from me. Take this affliction away from me. But when Jesus came and answered him, he didn't answer him in that way. It's like Jesus totally bypassed the request of the prayer and Jesus came and answered him in a completely different way. And that's the key when God says no. Because many times God is going to say no. Amen. But when God says no, it's always for the best. Amen. Every single time. When God says no to you, he's always got something better in store. Amen. There's always something better that he has. And you and your situation will so much want this certain thing. You want to marry a certain person. You've got your heart set upon that person. You pray, you seek the Lord, and he says no. You know, there's two ways we can react to that. We can get disappointed with God, get frustrated and say, but you know, God doesn't give me the things people say I should pray, but God doesn't answer my prayers. But if you'll wait, God has an even better answer in store for you. He has something better for you. That's why he's not saying to you just no. He's saying, no, I've got something better in store. Many times when God says no, it's because he's got a better plan in store for you. But you and I, in our human understanding, we don't understand that. We only see short term. We only see the circumstances we're currently in. We don't see the end of the journey. We don't see around the corner. We don't see beyond the next hill. But he knows what's coming. And he knows when we're praying now, sometimes we're praying counter to his will for our lives. We're praying for something that's going to absolutely hinder us in our lives. And God says no. And if you have the right attitude and you go back to him, like Paul did. Paul kept the right attitude when the Lord said no to him three times, refused to answer. Paul kept the right attitude. Then he went back to the Lord humbly and said, Lord, please, I don't understand why you keep saying no. Then the Lord says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Because when you are weak, then you are strong. Then my dunamis, my power can rest upon you in your weakness. And that's the key to it all. Listen what the prophet says in blind Bartimaeus. He says, I've never in my life ever sincerely asked God for anything that he either gave it to me or told me why he couldn't give it to me. My, that's how you want to pray. You don't want to pray being like so dogmatic in your own understanding. To say, God, this is what I want. Remember when Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's the kind of way you want to pray, because so many times what we're asking for in prayer is not the real thing that we need. But God sometimes doesn't look just at the thing we're praying for. He sees the need that we have. And he comes and answers according to the need, not according to what you're really praying for, because we don't know what's best for us. We don't know the real solution to the problems we're going through. We're so limited in our understanding, but he knows the real answer to your situation. And he's going to answer. He's going to look at in your soul. He's going to see there's a sincerity. There's a real earnestness in what you're praying about. But he's sometimes not going to come and answer you that way. He's going to come some other way and answer you, but he'll always answer your prayer. He'll always answer it. In the unchangeable God, you see, we must make God real unchangeable. Amen. If you were on Friday, it was a masterpiece. Hallelujah. From Brother Titch. To those who didn't come Friday, that was a blessing that Brother Titch preached. God is unchangeable. Amen. He doesn't change. He's unchangeable in his essence. He's unchangeable in his ways. Amen. So if God ever answered one person who approached him a certain way, he's going to answer every person who answers him the same way, because God is no respecter of persons. God is unchangeable in his ways. So, and we must remember, he says, God is real unchangeable. Every soul that comes to God seeking salvation or healing, he's. You've got to come believing that God is and that he's a rewarder. So you've got to come. When we're coming in prayer, saints, you can't come in prayer doubting. Amen. You've got to come with such a confidence that I'm going in prayer and God is going to answer me. Amen. Because Amen. God has promised to answer every sincere prayer. Amen. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Amen. Seek, you shall find. Amen. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Amen. That's the word of God that cannot fail. Amen. But when we ask and he answers, let's be careful that we don't miss the way that he answers. Amen. And then we weaken our faith and we think that I went according to God's word and I asked, but he didn't answer. He'll always answer. How can he? What did Jesus say in Luke 13, Luke 11? He said, if you being evil, you fathers, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father? He says, if your son comes to you asking for bread, he says, will you give him a stone? If he comes asking you for fish, he says, will you give him a scorpion? How much more if we're approaching God? We're his sons and his daughters. You're going sincerely. You're wanting to serve him. You're wanting to worship him. There's a need that comes inside of your life. You're approaching him humbly. You don't have sin inside of your life. Your sin is under the blood. You come and you get into his presence. You put your petition before him. I tell you one thing. 100% of the time he answers. 100% of the time, because God is God. He cannot lie. He cannot promise to answer that kind of prayer and then not answer that kind of prayer. But the problem is our own way. We want him to answer it. Our own preconceived ideas of when and how, and how must God must bring it to pass. That's where the problem comes in. That's what he says. You've got to come believing God. He says, now, Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. That's infallibly the truth. Nobody ever asked God anything but what God gave it to them if they came with an honest heart. But the thing of it is, God gives it sometimes in the way that we're not expecting it. But God always keeps his word.
Amen.
So Paul goes and prays and says, Lord, deliver me from this thorn. Deliver me from this affliction. Jesus answers him. But not in the way that he thought. Paul could have gone back to the saints and said, I don't know why God's not hearing my prayers. God heard that prayer perfectly well. But God was answering the right way. He was answering the way that was best for Paul. Not just the way that Paul wanted to be done in the short term. Paul wanting to be free from his affliction in the short term. But God knew what was best for him in the long run. God knew what was best to make him more effective in the service of God. And that's the way that God always answers. And what was the answer that Jesus gave to him? My grace is sufficient for you. He says, Paul, all you need is my grace. You think of Job. The whole book of Job just about, yeah? Job is saying, if I can come before his seat, I'm going to fill my mouth with arguments. Yeah? And then he says all of these things about the Lord. It's not fair this, it's not fair. Why does God do this? Why does God do that? He has all of these requests. He's got all of these things. He says, if ever I'm in the presence of God, I'm going to ask God all of these things. Then he gets in the presence of God. Did God answer one of his questions?
No.
Not one. God didn't address any. God never explained to him why he took his children, why he took his property, why he went through all the things that he went through, why his friends treated him like that. But just when he came into the presence of God and God revealed who he was to Job, Job was satisfied.
Amen.
My grace is sufficient for you. Job, if I'm with you, Job, if you've got my favor, that's enough. You don't need to understand all of these little things that are taking place inside of your life. As long as you know that I'm with you, leave it all in my hands. Because Father knows best. Father always knows best. To your children, you know best. You know best. They might come and say, Daddy, please, I want to get Xbox One and I want to get, you know, whatever, Grand Theft Auto. Yay. You're going to say, that's fine. I know what I'm going to buy for Christmas, but it sure ain't going to be an Xbox One with Grand Theft Auto. So you're not going to look at exactly what they're wanting because that's not going to be good for them.
Amen.
But you're going to see the desire behind. You're going to see the need that they have.
Amen.
Their friends have got certain things. Their friends are being blessed by their parents with certain things. So you're going to answer them accordingly.
Amen.
You're going to bring something that maybe doesn't match exactly their specification, but it matches their desire.
Amen.
It matches their need. And that's the way that God does it with us as well. He doesn't just answer us according to our list of specifications. But every time if you approach him the right way, he will meet your need. He will. Every single time, because he's promised to meet and to provide all of our needs according to his riches in glory, the Bible says. Every one of our needs. But sometimes our wants are not our needs. We think that's a need, but it's not. That's just your desire. And your desire, like my desire, is so fallible. We can fail every single day of the week. But God's desire for us is the most important thing.
Amen.
And when he answers according to the big plan. He answers according to his desire for us. And you've got to be watching for that. Because if you're not watching for that, you're going to think that he hasn't answered. That he hasn't answered at that time. Now, to God's sons and daughters, one thing that I really saw, there's so many paradoxes in the Bible, yeah? If you want to gain your life, you have to lose it, yeah? If you want to live, you have to die. There's all of these different things. You know, if you keep it, you lose it. If you lose it, you keep it. God works in paradoxes. And one of the other paradoxes is that God's negatives are always positives. When God says no, it's always a positive, depending on how we look at it. If you're just going to look at that no in our own understanding, we're going to think this is negative. Why is God saying no? But if you can understand why he's saying no, if you can understand his thought behind the no, his desire for us, like Paul, you'll find that God's negatives are always positives.
Amen.
It's always going to work better for you when he says no.
Amen.
If he says no, he knows how to turn that into a positive. God is never negative because God, in his essence, is not negative. God is pure agape love.
Amen.
God loves you. God has plans for you. God has purposes for you. How can God withhold good things from his sons and his daughters? But he withholds harmful things from his sons and his daughters.
Amen.
He withholds unnecessary things from us. He withholds things from us at certain times. We're not ready to handle those kind of things. He withholds those things from us. But he'll never withhold good things from his sons and daughters. So even when he's appearing to say no, don't stop there. Like with Paul, let him continue to minister to you. And then he's going to say to you, Paul, no, I'm not taking away this thorn, but my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul was satisfied. And he says, well, it's okay. Because wait, whenever I'm weak, then his grace to me makes me strong. Whenever I'm weak, he can do things through me that I could never do myself. You see the way that Paul was now starting to understand the way that God works. But when God doesn't answer, sometimes, you know, I liked one somebody told me years ago, and I always remember that he says, if you ask God for silver, will you be angry if he gives you gold? But that's what it is.
Amen.
When he says, no, I can't give you silver, it's because he's got gold.
Amen.
He's not going to allow you to have this because he wants you to have this, which is far better for you, but you don't see it that way at that time. You just want it that way because that's your desire. That's your human nature. Whenever we have a need, you want that need. It must be ministered to now. But God's not working in the now. God's working in the best for you. And means if he's got to hold something back, he's going to hold it back. If he's got to give you this to lead you to that, that's the way that he's going to operate. But he always does what's best for his sons and daughters.
Amen.
And every person here that's been a believer for any amount of time can testify of that.
Amen.
Is that Father knows best.
Amen.
He knows better. In the end, when you let it run its full course, he knows best.
Amen.
He knows best. Listen, in the unchangeable God again, he says, the thing of it is with the people is the way that God appears. Many times we want to make an idol out of God. What is an idol? Now, we wanted to make God like the cash machine at Tesco. Now, you go there, you put in your request, you put in your card, you put in the PIN. I want 100 euro. 100 euro comes out. That's how we want prayer to be. We go to the Lord. Lord, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And then those things must come out. God isn't an idol. God's not one of those pagan idols that you go and, you know, you put your desire and then he must meet your desire. The Bible says he's God in heaven and you are on earth. He knows far better than you and I. That's why he says many times you want to make an idol out of God because we ask God to do something. And then we must do it just the way that we ask it, or we'll say he never answered. When we do that, we weaken our faith in God.
Amen.
Because we start looking at the word and saying, but he said, if you ask, we'll receive. And I asked, I even fasted, I prayed, I sought God sincerely, but he didn't answer. And you weaken your faith in God, and listen to what he says. And we weaken our testimony when we do not take him at his word.
Amen.
When we don't take him at his word that he's going to answer, God will answer this prayer. And then you leave it in his hands. But you weaken your own testimony as well. God always answers. Now, that's the only way I've ever found it. If I can, to get anything from God, take him at his word and believe it the way that he sends it.
Amen.
And that needs relationship with him, friends.
Amen.
That doesn't mean just this modern generation of just, you know, you just want all the blessings out of God. You don't want to serve him. You don't want to walk with him. You just want God. You know, when you have a need, he must answer your needs. No, 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 no. That's not what Christ wants. He wants to walk with you. And if you're walking with God, that's the only time now that you'll be able to discern that. He says, now, if you do not take it just the way that we think, we build God up as an idol.
Yes.
It must be according to our ways or well, he didn't answer us. Now, that's one thing I like about Paul. Paul was mature as a believer. Paul knew that if I'm praying here and God is just, the heavens are like brass, God is not answering. There's no divine response to minister to my situation here. Maybe Paul would go and search himself, make sure that his life was right and that there was no hindrance. You know, maybe he really would come and humble himself. But Paul never allowed that to become something that stumbled him, that hindered him, because he knew God always has a purpose. And he knew his calling in Christ. He knew the relationship that he had with the Lord. And he knew, Lord, if you're holding this back from me, if you're not answering me like this, if this is just a door that's closed, there's got to be a reason for this. Amen. And when he went before the Lord, now the Lord started to reveal it to him. And what the Lord was saying to him, he was saying, Paul, you need something in your life to keep you in the perfect will of God. Amen. Because we as human beings, you want the way of least resistance all the time. Amen. We want the easy life. So we're always praying against anything which is in opposition. Always praying against anything that's a discomfort, anything that's going to make our life a little bit complicated, because we all love the comfort zone. We all want to be in the comfort zone. But the Lord knows that He can never get from us what He called us to be if we stay in the comfort zone. He can never be real to us in the way that He wants to be real if we stay in the comfort zone. So He's got to bring things to move us out of the comfort zone and to move us in that channel of His perfect will. And on either side of this channel of His perfect will, it's like He puts this thorny hedge. He puts all these thorns. So whenever you start getting out of the channel of His perfect will, you bump into certain things and certain things. Hey, I need the Lord again. And you get yourself back in line. And then maybe you go the other side. You go astray this side a little bit. You get involved in other things. And hey, this isn't nice. Hey, I don't like it. Where's the Lord? I need to get back. That's how He leads us, friends. Because if He had to do that to the Apostle Paul, such a great man, amen, that was caught up into the third heaven, what about us? Amen. What about us? And that's how when you look inside of your life, the seasons just of rest and blessing are few and far between for a believer. Amen. The times when there's no obstacles, no afflictions, no trials, no misunderstandings, nothing challenging you inside of your life, they're few and far between. Why? Because this life is the training ground. Amen. They don't call you to, like Brother Johnny there in Switzerland now, they don't call you to the army and they put you in the training camp, yeah? And you sit there all day drinking a cup of tea. The other day I contacted him when he came back from Christmas. I said, how are you doing? He says, I'm fine. He says, we just got to camp yesterday. He says, and they had a welcome back surprise. They allowed us to sleep 2 hours. Then we had to do a 25-kilometer march. So they kept us exercising the whole night just to say to us, welcome back to camp. And that's how it is with the Lord many times, friend. This is the training ground. This is where He wants to develop things inside of us. This is when He wants to teach us His ways and teach us His will and teach us how to walk with Him. But if God had to answer our prayers, friends, we'd be in a lot of trouble. Because when every single time that very thing that's supposed to minister you right into that place that God wants you to be, you'll be praying against it. So, Lord, I don't want it to be like this. I don't want to have my child going astray like this. No, I don't want this problem inside. I don't want problems at work. I don't want problems in the home. None of us want those things. Right. But friends, there's a reason behind so many of these things. Man. And God knows with us, He's got to keep the pressure on. Without pressure, we take the way of least resistance. If there's no pressure to come, that when you're starting to relax and you're taking it easy, you know, and everything's going well and you had ease in Zion, yeah? And there's no pressure to move you back. Be honest with yourself. Every single one of us are the same. Amen. We all want the easy life. Right. We all want to be like Jonah and get on the boat and go to Tarshish, to Spain. None of us want to go to Nineveh, but we're called to go to Nineveh. Amen. So when now you get in the boat and you decide you're going to go to Tarshish, it's not going to work the way that you thought. There's going to come some pressure. There's going to come some storms and some waves, and you're going to be looking in the face of death, and then you're going to be in the belly of the big fish, and you're going to say, but I need God. And friends, anything that gets you to praying, anything that gets you relying on the mercy seat, it's the grace of God inside of your life. And you might pray against that thing from now to the end of the year, God won't move that thing. Because God knows, in order for my son, in order for my daughter to keep seeking me at the mercy seat, they need this inside of their life. Because that's where God wants His sons and His daughters, relying on Him. Right. Why do you think the Lord takes David when he's anointed to be king? Sends him straight into the wilderness being chased by Saul. 13 years living in the caves and living in the forest. Yet this man's anointed to be the king. He's a man after God's own heart. He's just killed Goliath. Because God knew what was best for David. Amen. He wanted to bring David to a stage that he learned total reliance on God. Times he had no food. Times he didn't know whether he was going to be alive the next day. No place to sleep. Every step of the way, David was having to go to the mercy seat to go and pray and say, Lord, we need food. Lord, where do you want me to go? Saul's coming after me. 300 men are just the other side of the mountain. What do you want me to do? You know, he might have looked and prayed and said, please, Lord, I long for the green pastures. I long for the pastures green looking after my father's sheep. Oh, Lord, can't you quicken the process? I don't want to be in this kind of a situation. Can't you put me on the throne? It'd be so nice to be in the palace. But God knew it was best. And no matter how much David prayed in those 13 years, God wasn't going to short-circuit that process. Because it was the best thing for David. It was the best thing for the kingdom of God. For David to go through those things, for God to really get from the life of this man fully what he had called and anointed the man to be, what he was going through was necessary. And I'll say it the same for you and I. What you're going through now is necessary. What you're going through is very necessary. Just depending on how you look at it. Very necessary and can be very beneficial for us if you just look at it the right way. Look at it the way of the Word. God wants to keep us in the narrow way. We're singing about it. I will walk this path with Elohim. Do you think if God answered all our prayers, we'd be walking with Elohim today? Some of us would be living in Las Vegas. Some of us would be living the other side of the world. If God answered all of our prayers, friends, there'd be far less people in heaven than there are tonight. Today. If God answered all of your prayers, you'd be far retarded as a believer than you are now. But because many of your prayers He doesn't answer, that's the reason you've advanced in your Christian walk. Now you've got where you are many times despite your prayers, not because of your prayers. No, because God knows what's best. And that's how many times God says no. He says, I'm not going to give you the silver because I've got gold. I've got something better for you. And if you just allow Him, He knows exactly what it is that we need. If God answered all our prayers, be honest, we'd have far less treasure in heaven today.
That's right.
Yeah. Many of us, many times even just to do something for the Lord. Yeah. How do you find it with most people that do something for the Lord after a year or so? They don't want to do it anymore. No, they want somebody else to come and do it. It's true. They just say, we want the easy life. Last night we had youth up there in the north. I could see with some of the youth, not from our church, but it wasn't going down too well with some of them. You know, when we got onto the real truth of what courtship should be and what you should and shouldn't do in courtship, some of them didn't want to speak to me afterwards. I saw it. Friends, we all want to be the popular guy. We all want everyone to come and pat us on the back. Hey, that was so nice. But when you have to go and tell people the honest truth, when you know that people are kissing and playing around in their relationships, and you go and tell them straight to their face to say it's not right for you to do this. You shouldn't be doing these things in a relationship. You're not going to win a popularity contest. But all of us want to be popular. But what's more important, doing the will of God or being popular with people? The best thing is to do the will of God. And that's why God has to keep putting things inside of your life to keep you in that place that He wants you to be. Because if we had to make our own choices, we wouldn't walk there. We wouldn't walk there. But He wants it to be by our choice. He doesn't force us to do the things, but He knows how to goad us a little bit. You know, He knows how to put circumstances where we become so reliant on Him. And the only satisfaction you find in life is when you please Him and when you serve Him. And it means there's going to have to be sacrifice. There's going to have to be sleepless nights. It's going to have to be misunderstandings, difficult things. But when you weigh it up, you say, but to have His glory in my life, to have His hand upon my life, and you weigh it all up, no matter all these thorns that have to come and all these trials that have to come, it's far overweighed by having His favor and His glory and His grace being sufficient to you each step of the way. And that's what He wants to teach us, is that His grace is sufficient for you. Even if He says no to you now, He's going to give you grace. That's the answer to your prayer. You might pray and say, take away the thorn. He'll say, no, I'm going to give you grace to bear that thorn. That's what He said to Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. That's the way that He deals with us. You know, God is in the business of protecting His investment. Think of all the investment He's put inside of your life. All of the work, all of the revelation, all of the experience that you've had, all of the visitations that He's given you, how He shaped you up to where you are today. If God had to answer all of our prayers the way we want them to be answered, it's going to destroy that investment. God had invested so much in Paul. God couldn't risk losing that investment. God couldn't risk Paul accepting second best. So God had to put things inside of his life that Paul would stay in the center of his will. And it's the same with us. God doesn't want us to accept second best. But if we're in the flesh, these are tough things. If you're in the flesh, if you don't have like a spiritual connection within the veil, into the presence of God, if you don't really have a relationship that he can minister to you and you can speak back to him, you know, and he can give you grace in your situation, so many people get stumbled by this. So many people don't understand, but I wanted to marry this person. Why couldn't I marry them? Yeah. Why couldn't I get into this relationship? Why couldn't this work? And to some people, that becomes a stumbling block.
Yes.
It knocks them out.
Yes.
But to other people, instead of it being a stumbling block, they see that God did it for the best.
Amen.
God refused me here because he's got something better for me up the way.
Amen.
That's the way that you've got to look at it when God doesn't seem to be answering your prayers, because God knows how to get the best out of your life.
Amen.
You don't know how to get the best out of your own life.
Amen.
Think of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Think of his prayer. Imagine if his prayer in Gethsemane had been answered according to his desire. We would all be lost today.
Yes.
When he went and said, Father, let this cup pass from me.
Mm.
Imagine if that prayer had been answered. Where would we have been?
Amen.
Look at all that he would have forsaken. Yeah? But God knew better. And Jesus inside of himself, being the Son of God, he knew as well. And that's why when he prayed that, he straight away said, nevertheless.
Amen.
He said, nevertheless. He says, Father, this is what I desire. I don't desire to have to go this Calvary road. I don't desire to have to take up this cross. I don't desire to have to go down there to Jerusalem and all the things I'm going to have to go through. I don't desire that as a man. And friends, if you had just stopped there in prayer and had just insisted on his way, so much of what he was to be and to achieve would never have been achieved.
Amen.
But what was the way that God wanted him to go? The Calvary Road. The Calvary Road. None of us will willingly go the Calvary Road. As natural people, we'll never. Look, if Jesus didn't want to go the Calvary Road to take up his own cross, do you think you and I are going to want to take up our cross? God's going to have to help us in this, friends. God's going to have to put circumstance and situations. He's going to have to be with us each step of the way to help us to continue down this way, this Calvary Road. Because on our own, Paul wanted the easy way himself. Everybody would want that kind of a life. And that's how God is going to really balance these things out. So Jesus, when he prayed like that, Jesus all the time would say, Father, I know that thou hearest me always. Yeah? He knew always when he prayed, God heard his prayer. But because he was Son of God, when he could feel inside of himself as he prayed that that prayer was being refused, and that that prayer wasn't going to go through and get answered, it never stumbled him. Because he knew if my Father's saying no to this, there's a greater good. It may be the harder way. It may be the narrow way. But this is the way. This is where the huge portion of heaven will await you. If you go this way. And friends, God doesn't want us to miss out on our inheritance. Doesn't want us to miss out on this huge portion that he has for us, the spiritual inheritance. So sometimes physically, sometimes materially, sometimes in relationships, whatever it is that he's got to do, he's got to stir the nest. He's got to make the nest thorny. The mother eagle comes on and takes out all of the wool and takes out all of the fur, and then the nest isn't comfortable anymore. Why? It's time for them to fly. It's time for them to be what they're supposed to be. But if it was their desire, if they could ask their mother, say, please leave us here. We want to stay in this nest. We don't want to have to go from here. But mother knows best. She knows what's best for them. They weren't made for that kind of a thing. So Jesus, when he prayed about that, he prayed because he didn't want that Calvary Road. And friends, this is a key. Somebody asked me the other day, and they were saying, it's somebody else from somewhere, and they were saying about salvation. They were saying, you know, I don't really understand in the message, you know, about salvation and then all these other things that you've got to do and so forth. It's all confusing. I said, it's not confusing. I said, salvation, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ,
hallelujah,
to be forgiven, that's all you've got to do. For salvation, all you need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But to come to adoption, your place in Christ, you've got to be a disciple.
Amen.
You've got to be a disciple. If any man would be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. So there's things, if you want to be a disciple, if you want to come to your full inheritance, it's not enough just to look back to Calvary. Calvary gives you salvation. That's the starting point. Gives you peace with God. Puts you under the blood. But then to walk with God is to walk the Calvary road. You've got to take up your cross. If you want Him to be real to you in your life every day of the week, there's a price to be paid. It's the price of the cross. Paul said, I die daily. What would die? He'd have to mortify his flesh, his natural ambitions, his natural desires, his own ways of seeing things. He had to put those things to death. He had to draw strength from the vine, draw strength from Christ, deaden those natural passions and desires that would have stood in the way of the will of God. And then he could walk with God on a daily basis. But there's very few people in our age that want to pay that price. But friends, it's more than worth it when you pay it. To walk with him, what could be greater than walking with him? To walk with Elohim, to walk with God himself in your life, God personally interested in you, God personally responsible for you. What could be greater? But there's a lot of people that prefer the way to Tarshish. They do. They want the easy life. But if you are a real son or daughter of God, God will never allow you to be comfortable in an easy life. You'll never. And that's the purpose of the thorns. That's the purpose that these things come. Because what do we find on this Calvary road? When Jesus was praying and before him was the cross, yeah? There was the road to Calvary. What was there? It's the same as us. On this Calvary road, if you choose this way of the cross, to take up your cross, that's where you find all of the riches of the Christian life.
Amen.
You never find all of the riches in the Christian life lying on your bed like David when he should have been at battle. You find nothing of God in that kind of a condition. But when you take up your cross, when you go the narrow way, you choose that narrow way, you're walking with him, you will have a fellowship with him that you've never had before.
Amen.
That's where you find fellowship with him. A special fellowship with him. That's where you find fellowship with his sons and daughters that you've never experienced before. It's on the Calvary road. That's where you find revelation. Him revealing himself to you in ways that you've never known him before. It's on the Calvary road. But we would all pray naturally against that way. And if God listened to our prayers just as much as Jesus didn't want to go that way, imagine all the blessings if God answered those prayers that we're going to forsake inside of our lives. All the usefulness, all that God wants to use you for. All the people that he wants you to bring to him. All the people that he wants you to help in their walk. All the resources, all the equipment that you need to be an effective soldier is found on the Calvary Road. It's found beyond the cross. When you take up your cross and you walk the road to Calvary with your cross, that's where you find real apostolic Christianity. That's where you find the real thing. A lot of people are quiet. But anybody who's a real believer, they know that's the truth.
Amen.
You know it from your own experience.
That's right.
Where there's no sacrifice, the fire comes down on sacrifice.
Amen.
When you lay yourself upon the altar willingly as a living sacrifice, that's when the blessing of heaven comes down upon your soul.
Amen.
That's when you have a fellowship and a communion with him that makes this world pass away. That you're so dead to the world and the desires of the world, but it's beyond the cross. And that's how when Jesus didn't want to take up the cross, being a natural man. That's a prayer that could never have been answered. Because for him, that was adoption.
Amen.
That was the fullness of adoption. And what came at the end of the Calvary Road was the resurrection.
Amen.
That's when there was the power of the resurrection. That's when he experienced the power of the resurrection, was on the Calvary Road.
Amen.
And it's the same as us. When you choose to lay something down for his glory because he has revealed to you that that is not beneficial for you and that's not pleasing to him, and you willingly laid that thing down, watch how the power of the resurrection comes and takes its place.
Amen.
There comes a quickening. There comes Zoe life into your experience. There comes a different level of prayer. There comes a different level of understanding of his word. He knows what's best for us, friends, but it's not the easy way. It's not the easy life that brings out the best in us and brings out the best in Him towards us. And that's why sometimes He's got to put these things inside of our lives to keep us seeking Him, to keep us at the mercy seat, to keep us from being satisfied in self-sufficiency. Because He can never bless your self-sufficiency. He can never anoint your self-sufficiency. It's only when you are weak, then you are strong. That's what the Bible says. That's when He is strong on your behalf. It's when you are willing to follow Him and become weak. Willing to lay your strength aside. Any other life, you know, if you really think about it, how long you've been a Christian, how many years or months, whatever it is, and you look and say, you know, what was the real productive time? What was the real life in the Spirit? You'll find the real life was only when you were walking on the Calvary Road.
Amen. That's the
truth. Only when you took up your cross and you were walking with Him. Amen. All the rest of it, if you think of it, it's chaff.
Amen.
The wind will blow it away. When you get before the judgment seat of Christ that day and He weighs up all your works, all of those other things are going to just be dust blown away. But the gold, but the reward, but the exploits that He remembers and that He records are all on the Calvary Road.
Amen.
It's not on the easy way. It's on the narrow way. Jesus says broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. People don't want that way. But the sons and daughters of God, they love that way.
Amen.
When you overcome yourself and you take up that cross and you start walking in His bloody footprints, oh, friends, you have communion with Him.
Amen.
You have fellowship with Him. You have divine favor in your experience. That, like I said with Brother George Quinn, when he said when Sister Jacqueline was in hospital, and he said, you know, I had such a communion and fellowship with God in that trial that when she came out of hospital and everything was well, I sometimes wished I could go back there, because there was a certain something in that situation that brought such a communion. And I do believe that's the truth. Listen to what he says in Testimony Raising the Dead Boy. He says, oh, I'll tell you, this is the most marvelous thing I've ever seen in my life. Is the greatest hours of my life is when I get up against a wall that I can't get over it, I can't get under it or around it. That's right. And then I trust God, and He opens the way.
Amen.
And I can go through the thing. God takes you through it.
Amen.
Then when you come out on the other side, it's like when Samson killed the lion. He got the sweetest honey he ever eat out of that old carcass of that lion.
Amen.
And if you'll overcome something by the grace of God, it'll be one of the sweetest things you've ever tasted in your life.
Amen.
Ah, friends, the sweetness is on the Calvary Road.
Amen.
The honey in the rock, the honey in the lion. It's when you take up your cross. When you're facing an obstacle, you can't get around it. You don't know what to do. And you surrender yourself and say, Lord, You show me the way. And then He opens the way. That's what He was saying to Paul. He says, Paul, when you are weak, then you're strong. Then My power can rest upon you. Then I can do things in and through you and to you that you never would have dreamed. But when you, Paul, are strong, I can't do anything for you. So imagine that thorn, how important it was to keep Paul in this position, being humble and reliant and seeking the Lord each step of the way. It was so important, because that's when the sweetness comes out. That's when the testimonies and the victory comes out. It won't take too much longer, just a few more minutes. He says, let's read the scripture together, Isaiah 43. This is God's way. When you're speaking of the principle of My grace is sufficient for you, Isaiah 43, verse 1. Those who are sleeping, shake yourself.
Amen.
It's not good to sleep in the house of God. There was a young man, Tychicus, I think, who slept. And I don't know if there's anybody here that's got faith to raise the dead, so maybe don't sleep. Yeah. Isaiah 43, let's read verse 1 and 2. This is what the Lord says. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art Mine. Is that your testimony?
Amen.
Did he call you by name?
Amen.
Has he redeemed you?
Yes.
Verse 2. But look now. We know the scripture. When thou passest through the waters. You know what we're going to do before we get to the waters? We're going to pray, say, Father, no. Show me a bridge. Lord, show me another way. That's not God's way, friends. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. Ah, friends. He's not going to take the trial away from you. He says, but I'll be with you. My grace is sufficient for you. Ah, friends, to a believer. That's all you need. He may allow you to get the worst disease possible. But if you in the center of his perfect will, his grace will be sufficient for you. Sometimes he doesn't deliver you from it, but he wants to walk with you through it. He wants to take you through. That's why he said to Paul, Paul, I'm not taking this away from you, but I'm going to walk with you. And Paul said, if you're going to walk with me, then keep it on me, Lord. Because the benefits are far greater if it's on me than if I don't have it. That's how it was with Paul. He says, when thou walk passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Doesn't mean sometimes they're not going to come to your chin, friends. Doesn't matter, sometimes you're not going to be thinking, but hey, this is going a little bit longer than I thought. But his word is true. It'll never overflow you. He'll never allow a trial to overflow you if you're just resting in him. If you're trusting in him, he'll never. It's never happened since the beginning of the Bible to now that he took his people into a trial, that he took his people into a position, and he wasn't more than sufficient to take them through it. And it's the same with you and I. But we'll pray against it. We don't want to go through the rivers. He says, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. You can imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego praying the whole night, Lord, send a heavy rain, Lord. Lord, let them run out of fuel for the fire, Lord. You can imagine them and the Lord saying, I'm not going to answer that prayer. Because until you go through the fire, you will never know who I really am.
Amen.
But in the midst of the fire, I can reveal myself to you in ways that you never had imagined before. When you pass through the fires, I'll be with you in the fires. Ah, and that's a testimony of a believer.
Amen.
He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. That's what he said. I will be with you even in you to the end of the world. He'll never let you down. He says, when thou passest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Now God, sometimes when you look at the natural understanding, when we pray and we seek in the leadership of the Lord, God seems to be a very poor general. Believers know what I'm speaking about. When Pharaoh, I was going to speak of it today, but Brother Titch spoke on Friday about Israel at the Red Sea. God led them right into a trap. God took his people, redeemed them by the blood of the Lamb, then took them straight into the wilderness, straight into a trap. And there was the Red Sea before them, mountains on both sides, and Pharaoh's army coming behind. And God put them in a situation that they could do nothing about it. They were in a situation that they couldn't turn to the left or to the right. They were helpless. And then the mixed multitude started to murmur and complain. And Pharaoh came with his chariots and he looked from above. He said, their God is a poor general. He's led them into a place that there's no retreat if you watch 10 Commandments. That's what Pharaoh says. He's led them into a place that there's no retreat. There's no retreat with God.
Amen.
God will never lead you somewhere that he wants you to retreat. He says, when there's waters, I'll be with you. When there's fire, it won't burn you. But I says, I'll take you through it. That's God's way of doing it. But us will pray and say, Lord, I don't want to go down to this Red Sea. Find me another way, Lord. There must be an easier route. Yes, there's lots of easier routes. But you'll never know the power of the pillar of fire until you get down to the Red Sea. You'll never know. Listen from Revelation's book of symbols. Moses led the children of Israel with a little bread. Kneaded bread on top of their heads. Yeah, the unleavened bread. Kosher. And they marched to the Red Sea. You see, God's path led them right up to the Red Sea. He said, now, they said, how are we going to get across? You see, the natural thing, your mind's going to kick in and say, I think God's made a mistake here. This doesn't make sense. How many times in your life has God's way in your life not made sense? Probably once a week. Maybe once a day. Because His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. He can see far off. He knows what He wants you to be 10 years from now if He tarries. And the things that He's doing now are working towards that. But us, all we can see is the mountains around us. Uh-oh. And we can see how wide the sea is. And we look behind and we see the dust of various chariots. That's all that we can see through sense. But there's a people that have an anchor within the veil.
Amen.
There's a people that have a supernatural something inside of their soul. When they get to that situation and the flesh wants to kick in, there's an ability to say, hey, you, be quiet.
Amen.
And something kicks in and you say, I don't understand this. But all things work together for good.
Amen.
I don't understand this, but there's a divine purpose. I don't understand. I prayed and it seems God keeps saying no, but let me be still and let me know that He's God. And let me see what's going to happen here. He says, and somebody looked back and said, look, coming yonder, the dust are blowing. There's 10 times 10,000s of Pharaoh's chariots right behind us. No doubt that the very nature of the hills shook. Gonna see one of the most bloody massacres they'd ever seen. Imagine 2 million, more than 2 million helpless men, women, and children. And here comes Pharaoh in his chariots. He says, I can see a poor little helpless bunch of people. God loves to make you helpless at times. Because only when you're helpless, then He can help you. But when you can help yourself, He doesn't need to help you anymore, and you don't experience anything in your spiritual walk. But when you're helpless and He helps you, our friends, that deepens the relationship.
Amen.
He says, I can see little children backing up against mama and holding her dress. Poor old dad leaning against his boy saying, son, I've lived my days, but I hate to see you going. But look out yonder. All nature which dreads death. Even the flowers and the trees, everything else is afraid of death. Nature was quivering and groaning and shaking under their feet when they saw that bloody massacre coming. What was God doing? They failed to realize that hanging right yonder stood a supernatural power.
Amen.
Ah, friends, God didn't want to just show them that, look, my power is just to give you light by night. And just to be a cloud to lead you by day. I want to show who I really am to you.
Amen.
So God put them in a situation. There was no escape. There was no retreat. Everything was saying, this is going to be a massacre. But God knew what He was doing.
Hallelujah.
And then that pillar of fire moved behind them. And that pillar of fire went between them and their enemies.
Amen.
And then God blew, like the brother was saying, with the breath of His nostrils. And He started to part the Red Sea. Ah, friends, imagine being there. Imagine seeing that. You may be facing a situation today that it's a Red Sea. A Red Sea. One thing I'll say to you, stop fighting against it. Stop trying to find your own way out of it. You're never going to get your own way out of it. You never. When God has put you in a situation, when God has put you in a corner, there's a purpose for you being in the corner. He wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants to deal. Imagine Jacob. Remember when he heard that Esau was coming the first time, he went and he prayed and he said, oh Lord, please, no, let his chariot wheels break. No, let Esau not make it, Lord. God says, no, I'm not going to listen to your prayer. And the more that he prayed, the less God seemed to hear. And Esau was getting closer and closer and closer until it got to the stage. It was evening time now. Just at the going down of the sun, remember? Yeah, and then Jacob said, I need to go and pray properly now. What is God wanting to do? No matter how much Jacob prayed against that situation, God had a no. Because God had gold for him. God wasn't going to give him silver. God wasn't just give him a temporary deliverance from Esau. God was going to deliver Jacob from Jacob, which is a far better thing. He needed to be delivered from himself. And there's people sitting here today, you need to be delivered from yourself. Stop praying about Esau. Pray about yourself. And you'll be wrestling with an angel. And then it says, and he went, found himself alone, and he crossed the brook Peniel, and he got himself to this place now that God always wanted to get him to. But he was always running away from it. And then down came the Logos himself, the angel of the Lord. And now Jacob started to pray. Now Jacob started to pray a prayer that prevailed with God. And Jacob became Israel. And he was a limping prince. He never walked the same after that. He never walked the same after that. So if God had have answered all of his prayers before, was it for the good of Jacob? God knew what was best. God says, I'm going to answer your prayers, but in an unexpected place, an unexpected time, and in an unexpected way. And it's going to be, Jacob, for your good, and it's going to be for my good. Because Father knows best. He knows what's best. And friends, that's how it is many times when we're praying and God doesn't seem to answer. There's a certain something, a certain place that he's wanting you to get to, spiritually before him. Because he wants to do something for you that's going to put a milestone, a landmark in your experience that you're never going to forget for the rest of the days of your life. But because we are creatures that want the easy way, because you want the way to Tarshish all the time, we'll be praying against the very will of God for our lives. And God will be saying no. And God's negatives are always positive. Because God knows what's best. He knows exactly where he wants to get us. He knows exactly what he wants to do inside of our lives. And that's what they did. I'll just finish with one more here. Listen to this one. He says, improving his word. This is Joshua. The Joshua Commission. They're coming out. They've got the Ark of the Covenant. They're coming into the promised land. Yeah? They've been led. They've beaten Sion. They've beaten Og. They've won all those battles. God says, okay, now it's time for you to go into your inheritance. And he brings them to the Jordan River at flood time, the time of the flood. And again, all the people from Jericho, the other side of Jordan, we were there. You can look down from Jericho and you can see the Jordan Valley. And you can see Gilgal and all that. You can see, oh. And they would see all Israel camped on the other side. And those guys in Jericho were laughing. It's like, aha, these guys gone. It's a joke. Surely if he's going to bring them to the Jordan, he must bring them in the summertime when there's no water in the river. But he's brought them in the springtime. Ha, ha, ha. Be careful. Amen. He who laughs last, laughs longest.
Amen.
Never laugh against the plan of God because God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And he brings them now to the Jordan River. And listen how the prophet explains it. He says, they came up in the month of April when the waters was flying down out of the mountains from the melting of the snow. It looked like God was a poor general. Friends, I think of Brother Shep, he might be thinking, you know, God, I wonder if he's a good general. Friend, God's a good general.
Yeah.
He can bring you right to the Jordan in April.
Amen.
And for you, there's no way over.
Hallelujah.
Everything's against you.
Amen.
But there's a purpose.
Amen.
There's a purpose because he wants to reveal himself to you in a way that he's never revealed himself before.
Amen.
And if you'll just trust in him and give him his position,
Amen.
Let him have the opportunity to express himself.
Yes.
Stand still and see the salvation of God. See what God will do. He says, look like God was a poor general to lead his army right up to a place. He had them pinned off from the promised land. Oh, friends. You're sometimes being a situation, but God wants me to be there. But he's led me here. The very desire that he has for my life, he's led me to the other side of the river. It doesn't seem to make sense. But God works in paradoxes. God works in ways that it's exactly the opposite. And the very time he took them over was the worst month in the year. The Jordan was overflowing its banks, running plumb out into the fields. Why? If he was going to take them over, why didn't they come in the summertime when they could wade across? You see, we want the trials that we can wade across. You know? We want trouble to come, but it mustn't be too deep. We don't want deep trials, you see. We want those trials that are just there that you can just wade through them and say, you know, this isn't too bad. You know, God is good. You know, God brought us to this ford in the river, but God doesn't work like that. God doesn't bring you to places that you can wade across. If you're sons and daughters, he brings you to deep waters.
Amen.
That's what he does.
This is when they could wade across. But he waited, God, until the waters got deep. He likes to show us that he's God. He likes to prove his word regardless. Friends, I like that. I like that. Are you in deep waters today? God wants you to be facing up to deep waters. But he said, when you pass through the waters, they're not going to overflow you. When you go through the fire, I'm going to be with you. Ah, friends, those are the testimonies in your life. Those are the milestones in your Christian experience, that when Mr. Atheist comes and Mr. Evolutionist comes and wants to tell you there's no God, you just inside of yourself, you keep quiet and say, to you there's no God, but I know my God. Amen. My God is real, and I feel him in my soul. That's what the song says. And you've seen him in action on your behalf, in your life. Friends, you can never transfer an experience to somebody else. God wants you to have your own experience, that all the devils in hell will never take it away from you. Doesn't matter what people say. And the way that he does it, how? He brings you to the Jordan in April. He brings you to situations you can't go through. You can't, no matter how you look at it, no matter what plans that you think, no matter how much you pray, the more you pray, the deeper the river gets. That's the way that it is. But when God says no, friends, it's sometimes the most positive thing that can happen to you.
Amen.
Sometimes it's the most positive thing. He says that. He says, I don't care what the doctor said. You're dying with cancer. That's all that the man knows. Maybe the waters are deep for some of you today. But remember, God made the promise. God keeps his word. God proves his word that it's the truth. He waited till the waters got muddy. Friends, nobody wants to go into muddy waters. He waited till the waters got muddy. Until they got deep and over their heads and so forth. And then he opened up the way. Then he opened up the way. And friends, whatever situation that we find ourselves in, if God can just grant us the grace to trust him all the way there. Because God never opened up that way until the priest, just as their foot stepped to touch the water. It was raging and it was roaring, and there was white caps maybe on the river, and all the host of the enemy on the other side was standing there laughing. And they marched up with the ark. Maybe it says you go 2,000 cubits behind, whatever it was, yeah? And let the Ark of the Covenant go before. And just as the priest put his foot, the waters opened up. Sometimes he'll take you right down to the limit. Sometimes he'll take you right down to the place that you're saying, but Lord, surely you're risking it too far this time. It's fine faith, but this is too much, like Brother Crosby was saying at Christmas. But he knows what he's doing. And then straight from there, they get to Jericho. Yeah? And the Lord says, I'm going to give you this land. And there's big walls now. And there's this obstacle before, and that's far bigger than any of their weapons. Far bigger than all of the experience that they can use can change that situation. That's how God leads his people. Some through the waters, some through the floods, some through deep trials, all through the blood. And then they get to this place, and Joshua maybe is getting all of his army engineers together, and he's getting his people that knew architecture, and then saying, you know, we need to study the foundations of this building. We need to study how we're going to assault this building. And they're praying about it and say, Lord, you know, give us wisdom, show us what to do. And then God comes down and says, I just want you to use this battle plan. Go and march around the city. And they're marching around the city, and the guys on the wall are laughing at them once again. And they march around the city and they go home. Next day they march around the city and they go home. And then that seventh day they march six times around the city. And then it comes to the seventh time. And God's battle plan was, shout! The Lord has given you the city.
Amen.
And as they just walked in obedience, just walked in the light, just trusted in God, not thinking far ahead, not thinking how God should answer their prayers, not thinking how God should deliver them, but just trusting that he was going to do it. Then they shouted, and then God shook that place. And it shook in such an unusual way. It shook sufficient to knock the wall down flat so they could run up into the city. But it just didn't shake enough to shake Rahab's house down.
Amen.
That was a precise earthquake that was sent. It was exactly what was needed for this situation. Oh, friends, God knows what he's doing. Aren't you glad that you know him?
Amen.
Don't you want to know him better?
Yes.
You know, if you say that, every person who's putting it, who wants to know him better?
Amen.
You've just asked for trials in your life. You're just asking for afflictions. You're asking for deep waters. You're asking for thorns. You're asking for opposition, because that's how we get to know him better. It's going the Calvary Road. And that's why we are his sons and daughters. We're his the soldiers in his army, friends. We're following our great Joshua. He knows the way to lead us. And that's what Job understood at the end. He said, I might not understand the way that I'm going. I might not understand all these things that are taking place. But he had a revelation. He says, but he knows the way that I take.
Amen, amen.
And when I've come forth, I'll come forth like gold.
Hallelujah.
Oh, friends, sometimes you're asking for silver. But that's the kind of gold that he wants to give you.
Amen.
And when he says no to your request for silver, he's got some gold stored up for you.
Amen.
The gold of a Christian experience. The gold of Christian character. The gold of that divine something that he's going to do with and in you on the Calvary Road. Let's not shun it today, friends.
Amen.
If there's something which is hindering you back from serving Christ, that's a devil. Fight against that thing.
Amen.
But there's other things you're going to pray against inside of your life. Seek his face. And he'll reveal the purpose of that thing to you as well. Like he said to Paul. He said, Paul, it's fine. Don't worry about praying about that. My grace is sufficient for you. And that's what we desire. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of worship, saints, to give him his position, that he knows what he's doing. My grace is sufficient for you. Have something, Rachel.
Closer walk.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus gave me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long.
As I walk
close to thee, Lord,
just a closer walk with you, my Lord.
Granted, Jesus
is my plea.
Is my plea. Walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? My burden shares none but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee,
just a closer walk with you, Lord.
Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is over, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely over to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore.
a closer walk with you, just a closer walk with you, my Lord. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Let's sing that one. Am I a soldier of the cross? It's a good question. Are you a soldier of the cross? Are you a follower of the Lamb? Amen. Let's sing that one.
Am I a soldier of the cross? Crown, yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Wear a crown. We're a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Must I be carried through the skies
on flower
rebirth of bees, while others fall to win the prize and save through blood it says, oh, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown, we shall wear a crown, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. We will crown, we will crown, we will bright and shining crown. When the battle's, when it's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stand the fly? When it's over, we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown, we shall wear it. When it's over,
and win the battle. When it's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a by thy word. And when the battle is over, when it's over, we shall wear a crown, wear a crown, we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown. When it's over, and when the battle's over, when it's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, we'll wear a crown, we'll wear a crown, we'll wear a crown, we'll wear a bright and shining crown. Battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Amen, amen. The call is to gird up your loins. To those whose hands are hanging down, to those who are losing heart in the battle, consider him, Jesus, the captain of your salvation.
Amen.
Consider him that's gone before you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Who went the Calvary road. He took the real cross. Our crosses are nothing compared to his cross.
Amen.
He's the one who bore the load.
Amen.
He's the one who fought the fight. We just enter into the battlefield to gain the spoil of victory because of the great victory that is won.
Amen.
Whatever you're facing up to, face up to it like a man.
Hallelujah.
Face up to it like a woman of God.
Amen.
365 times in the Bible it says, fear not.
Amen.
Once for every day of the year.
Yes.
Every Amen. Day he says to you, fear not.
Amen.
I'm with you.
Amen.
Let's pray. Let's Amen. Seek his face. Amen. If you're not yet in this army, now is the time.
Yes.
Speak to the chief captain and say, I want to enlist today because of the greatness of your love.
Amen.
Because of what you've done for me. If you're in the midst of trials, say, Lord, increase my courage.
Amen.
For I must fight if I should reign.
Amen.
Let's all pray before we go. Let's all seek the face of God. Oh, Father, coming unto thee at this time.
Oh, Jesus, we thank thee, Lord, even in thy mercy, Lord, and thy grace that thou hast shown unto us, Father, over this weekend, Lord. Father, from Friday, Lord, what exhortations, Lord, today, Father. Lord. Father, for there could be, Lord, and there always is, Lord, surprising thy word, Lord, today, Lord. Guide us tonight, shepherd us, Lord, even upon this life. Grant unto us, even as we desire, grace in abundance, mercy, Lord, even in abundance. You be glorified, you be lifted above all. Shepherd us this day, keep us, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Must Jesus bear the cross alone and hold the world go free? No, there's
for me.
Must Jesus bear the cross?
Must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all the world go free,
go free.
No, there's a cross for everyone, and this the cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll be till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear. All praise the crown for me upon the cross, the pavement now at Jesus' pious feet. With joy I'll cast my golden crown, and he's here in repeat. Oh, precious crown, oh, glorious crown, oh, resurrection day. The angels from the stars come down, and my soul away.
Let's pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Ah, friends, we need him.
Amen.
And he needs us.
Amen.
He needs people that will stand for him in this age.
Amen.
When his name has become dirt and mud amongst the nations of the earth, there's a people that he's called.
Amen.
That he may consecrate his name.
Amen.
That he may show who he is. That he may reveal himself in our weakness, in our failings, but in our weakness, he is made strong.
Amen.
When we are weak, then we are strong. Let's glorify his name. Let's pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
I have heard of Christians long ago. We were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die for the Son of God. Oh, they would not deny, like a great angel why a sea, I can almost hear their voices rang. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come, oh, and the years have gone, but the course of Jesus, it still goes on. Now the time has come, oh, to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our life for the one who died, oh, to give us life till the trumpet sounds, oh, on that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all
the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Oh, let's pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will sing to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Oh,
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Do you pledge allegiance? Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Aren't you glad to be one of them today? I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them.
One of them.
I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory, here is me. I'm so glad that I can say I'm
one of them.
Aren't you glad you can say you are one of them? You are one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah,
one of them.
Hallelujah, one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Though these people may not learn it, no boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide, His power's yet the same.
I'm so glad that I can say I am one of them.
Aren't you glad you can say you are one of them?
Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah,
one of them.
Hallelujah,
one of them.
Oh,
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, oh, praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and powerful servants came. Now what He did for them that day, He will do for you the same.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Aren't you glad you can say you are one of them?
Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Come my brother, seek this blessing to set your heart from sin. That will start the joy bells ringing. Oh, it is burning now within my heart.
Glory to His name.
I'm so glad that
can say I'm
one of them.
I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Amen.
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 Yes. Friends, we can't go without marching today.
Amen.
We need to march. I think it'll finish off well if we march. Who wants to march? Brother Wilmer always wants to march. Brother Mike always wants to march. Let's march. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a stranger when the saints go marching in.
I'm a pilgrim, I'm a stranger, wandering through this fertile city, on my way to that fair city, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I know I'll see my Savior if my life is free from sin. Heaven's doors will open for me when the saints go marching. When the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want be in that number when the saints go marching in. When we gather around the throne and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting glory, glory when the saints go. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I am waiting for my chariot to swing low and I step in. On the cross I ride to heaven when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching. Oh, when the saints, oh, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Amen. The children have a lot less starch in their shirts than we have, like the prophet.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. We ask Brother George, please, to close for us and pray. If anybody has a request before the Lord, if you want to raise your hand to the Lord and just ask our brother, just remember Sister Anne up in the north as well, Brother George.
Father, we are grateful, Father, for such an opportunity, Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Father, when we look back and we take stock and inventory for this week,
yes.
Father, we see the word that you've given us Wednesday. Father, we think of our sister Rahab.
Yes.
Father, how she had, Lord, Father, even the ribbon out. Lord, Father, maybe people laughed at her.
Yeah.
Maybe they made a gazing stock of her, Lord. But she was ready, Lord Savior, and how we desire to be ready, Lord Savior God.
Amen.
We think of Friday's message, Lord,
yes,
and today's message, Lord. Amen. Father, Lord, and we bundle it up, Lord Savior. Father, this is wise instruction, wise counsels, O God.
Amen.
Father, the prophet said, Lord, Father, oh God, rapturing faith is in the books and the tapes.
Yes.
But Lord, we need, Lord Savior, the fivefold to decipher those books and tapes.
Yes.
And Lord, we take, Father, our Wednesday, Friday, Sunday message, Lord, and we gaze even upon those things, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, Father, tomorrow when we rise up, Lord, we want, Lord Savior, to rise up, Father, Lord, like champions, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we want, Lord Savior, that when we step, Lord Savior, even in our position, Lord, the enemies will be scattered, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord, God, Lord, even as Lord Savior, they sing, Lord, let God arise and let the enemies be scattered, Lord Savior.
Yes, Lord.
Father, knowing indeed, Lord, that if there's anyone, Lord, to bring, Lord Savior, stress to this, Lord, life and its condition is the believers, Lord Savior.
Amen.
And we desire, Lord Savior, to take these counsels through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Lord, Father, fresh instructions again, Lord.
Hallelujah.
For we know one day, Lord, Father, Lord God, that trump will sound, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, and you would call us out, Lord Savior.
Amen.
But before then, Lord, Father, we ask, Lord, that you'd bring on, Lord Savior.
Yes.
Lord, the trials, Lord, and give us, Lord Savior, grace that we can walk joyously, Lord,
yes,
amidst the trials that you've called us to overcome,
yes,
Lord.
Lord. Yes,
Father,
Lord.
For Lord, man, Lord, in his own thinking, Lord, Father, we can never go through safely, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we are always contrary to what you want, Lord.
Amen.
Our prayers are even contrary, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Our desires are contrary, Lord Savior.
Yes.
We desire, Lord Savior, Father, Lord, that with that contrariness within us, oh God, we know that there's that inside life, Lord.
Amen.
That seed, yes, deep within, Lord.
Amen.
That you placed amidst us, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord, and Lord, when your word is ministered, Lord, that seed is watered, Lord.
Amen.
That seed, yes, Lord, starts budding and growing, Lord.
Amen.
Father, yeah, that inside, yeah, life,
yes, Lord,
that just keeps growing from glory unto glory.
Amen.
Lord, and we know that, Lord Savior, we will overcome, Lord Savior.
Amen.
We will, Lord Savior.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
Oh God, be victors, Lord, because,
amen,
you chose us carefully, Lord.
Amen.
In this last day, Lord.
Amen.
Father, to be the last day evidence, Lord.
Amen.
Father, to this world, Lord.
Yes.
To witness to this world, Lord.
Amen.
No matter how tough it is, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we know that, Lord Savior, you trusted in us that we can do,
amen,
it, Lord.
Yes,
we are,
Lord,
praying for our young, Lord Savior. Our youth, Lord Savior God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we have made the decision, Lord.
Amen.
Father, long ago, Lord Savior God.
Amen.
But they are, Lord Savior, some,
amen,
of them caught in the valley of decision, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, we ask your grace, Lord.
Yes,
we,
Lord,
ask that you would make it easy for them, Lord Savior.
Amen.
For it's not an easy day to dwell in, Lord.
Amen.
And we are believing, Lord Savior, as hard as it is, Lord. Father, Lord God, you are confirming in your word, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are confirming, Lord Savior, even in, Lord Savior, your ministries, Lord, around, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Here in Dublin, Lord Savior.
Amen.
Lord, giving us unction, Lord.
Amen.
Father, to continue on, Lord Savior.
Hallelujah.
God. Father, we want to, Lord, even consider our sister and Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord, and brother Alec,
yes,
at this time.
Lord,
Lord,
yes,
such,
Lord,
faithful, Lord, Savior, brethren, Lord.
Amen.
Father, how this comes, Lord, not by surprise, Lord.
Yes,
but Lord,
Lord,
I'm glad, Lord, that, Lord, in the early hours of the morning, Lord,
yes,
Father, lately they've been in my prayers, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I ask God that you would intercede, Lord.
Amen.
Father, give a,
yes,
healing, Lord Savior God.
Amen.
Grant a grace, Lord Savior God.
Yes,
Lord,
Lord,
that we, Lord Savior, may take courage again, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we may, Lord, take strength again, Lord.
Amen.
How we would desire to hear from the pastor, Lord.
Amen.
Father, even, Lord, tonight, Lord,
yes,
that the,
Lord,
sister, Lord, is doing well, Lord Savior God.
Yes,
we are,
Lord,
trusting,
yes,
in thee, Lord,
yes,
Savior.
Yes, Lord.
For, Lord, you said to ask, Lord Savior.
Amen.
Lord, and you would provide, Lord.
Yes,
and if,
Lord,
we are in our positions, which we are, we are asking, Lord Savior,
yes,
that you,
Lord,
would condescend to,
amen,
that bedside, Lord Savior.
Yes,
take,
Lord,
her out even now, Lord Savior.
Lord.
That she, Lord Savior, oh God, Lord Savior, would,
yes,
be restored,
Lord,
fully back, Lord Savior.
Amen.
Grant her the grace she needs, Lord,
amen,
even at this hour. For, yes, this is the children's bread.
Amen.
Lord, Father, we ask your grace, yeah, tonight, Lord. Guide us as we part, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Keep us, Savior God. Lord, that we always would be careful, Father,
to come constantly to your house. Amen. Lord, that we won't be taken by surprise like Amen. Our Friday service, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we who were here, we weren't even in a condition to receive that, Lord. But what a blessing it was, Lord.
Amen.
We want to come, Lord, with expectation for Wednesday and next Friday.
Amen.
Oh, Father, not looking, Lord, even at Lord Savior, Brother Andrew or Brother Max, Lord.
Amen.
But we want to hear from Jesus.
Yes.
Grant us grace, Lord, we pray.
Amen.
For Lord, if we come, Lord, with such expectation, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we come like the early saints, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, life sanctified, Lord.
Amen.
No, Lord Savior. Oh, Father, quarrel between each other, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
But just pure love, Lord Savior.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, like today, like Friday, like Wednesday,
Hallelujah.
We will bring down heavens, Lord.
Amen.
We will generate an atmosphere.
Hallelujah.
We ask your grace now.
Yes,
give us mercy, Lord, even as we travel.
Yes, Father.
Guide us even as we travel. We thank thee for the sun as well, Father.
Amen.
Give us warmth, Lord, even in days ahead.
Yes.
Guide us, Jesus, we pray. Bless your servant, Lord,
Amen.
Who's not held back, Lord, but
Amen.
Has been faithful, Lord, Savior.
Lord,
oh, we long for those services when we can, Lord, be here all day, Lord,
Hallelujah.
Savior. But till then, Lord, let us continue to fellowship around these things, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Considering our brother Paul, Father, Lord, who, Lord, took his no as Amen. A blessing, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
Lord. Let us, Lord, Savior, look amidst our lives, Lord, for many other no's you tell us, Lord.
Yes,
but Lord, those are the blessings, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
We want like Paul to say, Father, oh Lord Jehovah, you would say, my grace is sufficient, Lord.
Yes,
your
Lord.
Grace is sufficient, Lord.
Amen.
Help us, Father,
yes,
as we part. Keep us now, Father,
yes,
we
Lord.
Ask, Lord. Give strength, Lord, to the weak. Give
Amen.
Grace, Lord, to them in need, Lord.
Please,
heal
Lord.
The sick, Lord, amongst us,
Amen.
Lord. That, Lord, there be no one left behind. We
yes.
would all go through, Lord, Chevikor.
Amen.
Grant us now mercy as we part. Bless all we ask in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. Amen. Let's finish with that one. Where he may lead me, I will go. For I've learned to trust him so. Amen. God bless you, saints.
Where he will lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so, and I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary.
Oh, he lead me, Jesus shall lead me. Night and day, Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest of friends to me. Oh, I remember Calvary. Oh, I delight in His command. I love to be led by His dear hand. His divine will is sweet to me, hallowed by blood-stained Calvary. Oh, He lead me, Jesus shall lead me. Night and day, Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest of friends to me. Oh, I remember Calvary.
Onward I go,
onward I go. Down no fear, happy with Christ my Savior near, trusting that I someday
I shall
see Jesus my friend on Calvary.
Oh, he lead me, Jesus shall lead.